News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 25th of September, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people,
are listening to the last Saturday.
The last Saturday performance of Soundbite. Starting next week, we will be on Sundays, 11 to 1, every stinking Sunday.
Yep.
11 to 1, we aren't going to get bumped or moved or
tossed around from different slots.
Shortened a few minutes now and then. But
once in a while, but not too often.
That's only like, I think, six. For the New York Giants game, we're only going to lose about six Sundays. We're going to lose only 15 minutes. But overall, we're gaining 20 minutes of showtime.
And we're going to be starting at the same time every week, which is a big boon for the listeners.
Yeah, big boon for us. And who are we? I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray. And I'm Chris Suttlemeyer.
And we are Sound Bites, and we're going to start with the news, and we're going to start with Steve.
Well, some good news. Apple has started shipping products.
Yay!
Well, basically, last June or July, they ran out of everything as they were transitioning to the new models.
Sorry, boy.
So for the last 2 months, it's been very hard to buy a new Mac. Unfortunately, for Apple dealers, yesterday was Apple's year end, fiscal year end. So all of your sales numbers had to be in by, say, yesterday. But without having any products to ship, we couldn't actually sell much of anything. So it was a very hard time in the retail world. But the new G5s are starting to ship, and the new iMacs are starting to ship. We have display models at both our Mendon store and our Rochester store. Really, really cool. Basically, they're calling it a bodiless computer. The entire computer is in the monitor. The monitor is barely 2 inches thick, and it's just all self-contained, really small, and very inexpensive, starting at $1,300 for a G5 processor and a 17-inch LCD flat panel, so very, very affordable at the entry level of the G5s. Apple also has announced what they're calling a display repair extension. If you have a titanium or aluminum 15-inch PowerBook, it may be showing faint white spots on the screen. They're extending that program a little bit, and there are a series of serial numbers if your model falls in that range. It's machines that were manufactured from July of 2003 until November of 2003. If your computer is out of the standard one-year warranty, they will still fix this specific problem for free. So we'll have a link posted on the Soundbites website shortly, and it's also available on Apple's website. So this PowerBook actually goes along with Apple's been having some hardware engineering troubles. Certain models of iBooks have a logic board repair extension for video problems. Certain aluminum PowerBooks have a battery recall, so if you have an aluminum 15-inch PowerBook, the batteries have been recalled for a certain range of them, and now we're running into display problems in the LCD panel. So it's one of the sort of the general things we're seeing in the overall industry, not just Apple, that as prices are getting forced down by competition and by market pressure, unfortunately quality is suffering a little bit. And fortunately, Apple is doing a good thing here by extending warranties for specific problems they find, for either manufacturing defects or design deficiencies. So it's really good for Apple consumers.
Excellent.
And the last thing is that we finally have all colors and all sizes of iPods available. So get your Christmas shopping done early because they may not be left by
Christmas.
Exactly.
You have them today. That doesn't mean you'll have them tomorrow.
Right. Well, we have 20 each of each color. So that's about 60 iPods.
Like I said, you may not have them tomorrow.
May not have them in another week or two.
Yep.
All right, Dave.
Okay, a few things here. One, evidently, the state of Colorado doesn't listen to our show.
Apparently, they do not.
Because if they knew, you know, to keep up with their antivirus software like we preach every week, the DMV wouldn't have gone down. The DMV in Colorado literally got hit by a virus that knocked out the computers, so folks trying to get identity cards or driver license are out of luck. So they're telling folks right now, if you're affected by that, they're going to give you a 30-day extension to go in and renew your license until they can get the computer back up and running. All right, out in...
cautionary tale for those of us here in New York State.
All right, Windows. Literally, this year has seen nearly 5,000 new Windows viruses and worms were detected in the first half of this year. That's up by 1,000. Then last year, according to Symantec, again, you know, I mean, granted, I've seen a little bit of a slowdown in some of the virus writing and everything else because it seems to be the big thing right now is spam. Because everybody is literally running the antivirus software. There's so many service providers now, AOL and, you know, Frontier, DSL, and all of them are also offering free antivirus, so you know you can just have your mail go through that, and it kind of filters it out, so it's becoming a non-issue.
The mail servers are filtering it before it even gets to you.
So that's more or less becoming a non-issue. So that's turning these hackers towards more spam and trying to be deceitful in that way of overtaking your web browser and everything else, or having these pop-ups get at you. And again, another reason to go to like Foxfire and Mozilla and those, just to avoid all that stuff. I mean, I've been using the new version of Netscape 7.2, and it's great because any of my junk mail coming in now, all of a sudden, you know, sit there, show up for a brief second. Once I've marked it junk, from there on in, it goes right directly to the junk. The other important thing is Samsung just put out a demo-featured memory chip. This Korean-based company has now unveiled an 8-gigabyte flash memory chip on Monday on a 60-nanosecond processor, as well as a 2-gig DDR memory stick. So a lot of these systems, you know, especially with the Athlon 64s and everything else, you know, they can start at 2 gig and put more in it. So
right.
Instead of having and not having enough space, you could put in two gig hard drive or memory sticks and be up to 4 gig, bam, right off the bat.
I could use that.
I just built a client with 2 gig of memory.
That's something to watch when you're looking for computers. These real cheap computers you see advertised at the $500 range usually only come with 128 megs of memory.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah.
And that's barely enough to run Windows, let alone
XP,
all the you know digital audio and digital stills.
But that's how they get the price down.
Yeah.
You know, well, it was so cheap. Yeah. Now you got to put a little money if you want to do some work on it.
512 is the minimum you should have, and 1 gig is a good working environment with Windows XP and even Mac OS X now.
Yep.
And if you're into digital video and digital audio and some of the high-end digital stuff, you know, 2 gigs is getting to be very common.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's absolutely necessary these days. Okay, on the Windows front here, there's an exploit code for the Microsoft graphics flaw.
Oh, geez.
Last week we talked about there being a graphics flaw in the way, about over a dozen of its programs handle the JPEG imaging format. Of course, all of those programs really use the code inside Internet Explorer. There is a patch out. Folks, if you haven't applied your patches lately, you better hurry because there's a live exploit out there, and it's an ugly one. So get that patch in. In terms of patches, we should mention that Microsoft has announced that from now on, Internet Explorer patches will only be available for XP. So for those of you who are running non-XP Windows-based systems and you're still using Internet Explorer, seems to me it might be time to check out Firefox because Microsoft is basically telling you we don't care anymore. So move on. Let's see. Service Pack 2. They have resolved the VPN bug, which was causing a lot of trouble with the update to Service Pack 2 for XP. Now that they have fixed that, they are going to move on much more quickly in giving everyone Service Pack 2. The Senate...
That was only one of the hundreds of bugs that were discovered in it, wasn't it?
Right. But at least that's the one that was really businesses care about.
Yeah, hurting corporate
America. I had one client really upset. because he's still running Windows 95 and WordPerfect 5.0.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, well, some of these patches, there's no more patches there. Right. There hasn't been for years. As a matter of fact, they're getting ready to get rid of Windows 98.
Right. Some people think that...
I shouldn't have to do that. This is working fine for me, and yada, yada, yada.
I agree, but...
The danger there is that some people with 95 and 98 might think there aren't any problems because no more patches show up.
Right, but it's not true. They've just been abandoned.
Yep.
The United States Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee approved bills intended to fight computer spyware and to protect the wireless phone customers from potential privacy problems associated with wireless phone number directories. So that's the Wireless 411 Privacy Act. And the committee approved other bills as well. So those of you who do a lot of wireless should feel just a whole lot safer in your beds these days. Here's an important one for all you home users. Microsoft has updated the Microsoft Works Suite. For $100, and there is a $20 rebate available, for $100 you get Microsoft Word 2002, the Money Personal Finance Program, the Encarta Encyclopedia, the Streets and Trips Mapping Application, Picture It Premium Digital Imaging Tools, and all the other little Works productivity applications like calendaring and the little spreadsheet and all of that other stuff, all for $100. And there is, like I said, a $20 rebate. So if you're one of those people who really doesn't use... doesn't need Office.
Which is $400.
And you really don't feel like moving to OpenOffice, which is free. Here's a chance to spend only $100 and get the full-blown Word processor and then a bunch of other individual things along with it.
That's pretty slick, because if you buy Word separately from the Office suite, it's like $300 itself.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. But instead you get it for $100 in here. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we talked last week about a new product new to us called Anonymizer. You'll be hearing a little bit more about that during the show. But we are going to give away a copy. And in the tradition of Sound Bites, we're going to give it away via a trivia contest. So today we have a trivia question. And the question is, 81 million Americans regularly use email. On average, how many pieces of email does each of us receive daily? Now, in looking this up on the net, I found about five or six different places that had wildly diverging sets of estimates. I picked a median one, if I've used that term correctly, so I'm going to take your answer within five.
No, that's fair.
That's fair. So, decision of the judge is final. So the question is, on average, how many pieces of email does each of us receive daily? That's today's trivia question. I thought we'd restart with an easy one. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Settlemyer, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Go to contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Settlemyer.
And we are Soundbites. Now, we're going to go to the phones, but before we do, I just want to remind everybody about our trivia question of the day. The question is, how many pieces of email, on average, does each of us receive a day? Given this number, I'm personally making up for about 8,000 people, I think.
You and me both.
But that's our trivia question of the day, and we're going to go to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Ken.
Well, I think you're absolutely right.
Our first caller is Ken. Welcome, Ken. What's your question?
Hey, Nick. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're great. Good, Ken. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you very much. Frozen to all of you guys.
Frozen.
question. For someone that's gone and had and loaded Service Pack 2 before all the corrections were made, and now, of course, they can't get out to the Internet at all because they never cleared out all of their pieces of junk malware, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what's the fix?
Linux.
Mac.
Short of Linux.
Yeah.
Can they get in safe mode?
Yes.
All right. And is this, what OS is this?
XP Pro.
Okay.
XP Home.
All right. Here's what you want to do. One, if you can go into in safe mode and clear out, you know, the cache. You know, on both, you can go into control panel settings and then internet options. You can clear out and delete all the history and the cache and all that good stuff. The other thing, though, is if it's having trouble getting an IP address, if you can go to some other computer, there's a very small file, and we got a listing on it. It's called WinIPFix, and it's a little little utility that you can put on your desktop, even in safe mode, and run it. And it'll reset the settings within the IP, the TCP IP.
Okay.
All right.
The other thing you might want to do is download the Windows XP Service Pack 2 Network Installation Package for IT professionals and developers.
Okay.
That's available from Microsoft's website. I'm not even going to pretend to give you this four-foot-long URL. Steve's going to look it up. If you go to Google, type in XP space SP2 space download, you'll see it right there. It's the first Microsoft answer, not the nonsensical junk that
make sure
that
you get any drivers and all that ahead of time for, like, your video card. Make sure they're all up to date.
Okay, great. Can I take a stab at the trivia?
Okay.
Nine.
Nice try, though, Ken.
Hasta la vista.
Thank you, Ken. It was a heck of a guess, though.
Yeah,
but it's a
very good guess.
Should I say whether it's high or low?
No.
Okay.
No. Let's keep them going. I mean, all they got to come up with is a number. It's not like they got to come up with an unusual name or something.
You know, some of these that I found, these trivia questions, some of them are ridiculously simple, and some of them were impossible. So I just picked a middling kind of...
Oh, I think that's a good one. We'll see how it
goes.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Our next caller is Kevin. Kevin, where are you calling from?
Rochester, New York.
Rochester, New York.
Yep. I called last week because I had a Sony Vaio computer that would, during random periods of time and a random program, shut itself off and reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And you suggested to run Memtest 86 overnight.
Yep.
And, I did that. And after I made the boot CD and I ran the program, about 2 or 3 hours into running, computer shut itself off and rebooted again.
Yep.
And then the mem test would start again from scratch, and then about 4 to 5 hours into it, the test would shut itself off and reboot itself again. And it would do this like 6 or 7 times in a row each time, gaining nearly an hour. And then for the I think it was the ninth time actually, it ran for 40 hours straight. And then it finally did reboot. But during those 40-some hours, it showed that it passed about 270 tests.
Okay.
And showed no errors or ECE errors.
Right. In that case, I got to think it's got to have something to do with your power supply.
That's one of the
thermal
possibilities I was thinking.
Which is on the motherboard. Connected to the motherboard and the laptop.
Right.
It's a laptop, right?
No, it's a desktop.
Oh, desktop?
Yeah. No, I'm thinking it's the Vaio desktop, not the Vaio laptop.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is that you do something interesting about your power supply, like get it replaced.
Well, you might want to look at some utilities also with the motherboard. I had one client, matter of fact, I'm ordering parts for him right now. It was just in a month ago. And literally, because we put another 256 stick in, one of the chips that are in there, the little canister one, started leaking. And fluids are now all around. You can see where it's crystallized around this, and it's right near the bus.
Right.
So, you know, with these faster chips and some of these folks that are overclocking them and everything else are causing them overheat, that they can put undue stress on some of the components. If you go to PCWorld.com, and under the downloads, they've got a lot of different utilities. There's another one that you can run a diagnostic that you can test the motherboard, the memory on the motherboard, along with any other peripherals.
Because
the power supply is usually either it has enough power to boot it up and, you know, go. I'm almost thinking that you might have, because it's over time, a flaw on your motherboard. That, you know, once the heat goes up, it winds up causing the problem.
Does it turn back on again immediately, or do you have to...
Yes.
If it's a thermal problem, usually you have to wait an hour for it to cool off before it turns back on again.
Depending, you know, with the fans.
Yeah, make sure all the fans are spinning and nothing obstructing it.
Yeah, that was going to be my next thing. As long as it's
vacuum
desktop,
the dust out.
Run, open the case, vacuum the dust out, make sure it's turned off when you do it. Well, don't vacuum it, I'll blow it out.
Well, it's almost pristinely clean because I've only had it for like 3 months.
All right, then
wait a minute. Then before he goes around playing with it, he's only had it 3 months, send it back.
As long as it's still under warranty.
Well, I've already tried to get it, like, fixed under warranty and stuff, and they keep saying, like, that it clears all their tests.
Well, then you tell them, sorry, it doesn't clear yours, and either you want it fixed or you want your money back.
Okay, that's easier said than done, though.
Yeah, but no, I mean, seriously, there's
you know what?
You're getting in there avoiding any warranty.
Tell them to do a 24-hour bench test. Just let it run and sit for 24 hours.
Well, one of the repair shops that I gave it to that was a retailer for the manufacturer, for Sony, they ran a benchmark test, like running for 48 hours straight with different benchmarks they did, and they cleared all what they had.
Maybe it's one of your peripherals.
Maybe it's your power.
Keyboard, mouse. Oh, yeah, it could be the power coming
in your
house.
Do you have power problems? Like, while you're watching television and somebody turns on the dishwasher, does the screen kind of wiggle a little?
Or when the refrigerator compressor kicks on, the lights
very
down.
Infrequently.
Well, but if that's part of the problem, then it depends, again, on how much you're driving your power supply.
Well, there's three other computers in this house that we have.
And they don't do it?
No. One XP computer.
But it has nothing to do with that. And has everything to do with
the circuit.
It also has everything to do with how good your power supply is.
Yeah, it might be a 250-watt power supply that's sucking 245 watts.
Right. If you've got a 500-watt power supply or a 400-watt power supply and you're only drawing 200 watts, that's a lot more robust than a 250-watt power supply drawing 240 watts. So that could be it. But again, I would suggest that you check to see if you're... take the case off and watch it run and see if the fans are all running, including the one in the power supply.
I did that, and the fans were running.
Well, then I have to suggest that you replace the power supply.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We can talk about this for hours, but I have a feeling that that's the next thing to try.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll try that.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
This is a shame, though, because it's under warranty. They should replace the power supply for them.
Well, the problem is
they're not going to do it unless he's really, really, really squeaky wheel.
And if you can't reproduce the symptoms, it's hard to know what to replace.
Right, and if they ran it for 48 hours and it didn't reboot, it's got to have something to do with
the
power.
Or maybe his
peripheral. The power supply is shot and he needs a new one.
We've run into a couple of issues where it's the customer's keyboard causing the problem. And we generally don't want them to bring their keyboard and mouse in because we don't want it to get mixed up with our stuff.
Yeah. Right.
And they don't get it back.
Well, there's an idea for Kevin to try. If he's got more computers, try switching the keyboard and mouse to somebody else. See if the problem...
Well, I had a computer that wouldn't boot this week. And it was a bad CD-ROM drive. It was the second one. They had two of them on there, a DVD and a burner. And I had to, through a process of elimination, finally narrowed it down to the burner.
Yeah,
I wouldn't boot it
off. I have
to
be honest, when it's an intermittent problem like this, it's very hard.
It's crapshoot
to deal with it. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Settlemyer, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. The Anonymizer Private Surfing 2004 suite. It includes a spyware killer, the mail shell anti-spam desktop, and Anonymizer 2004, which keeps your computer address totally unlisted on the internet. How do you get it? Glad you asked. Go to www.getprivatenow.com. Type in now this is normally a $90 value, but if you type in my name, Nick, N-I-C-K, you get the special price of only $49.95. So head on over to www.getprivatenow.com, type in my name, Nick, and get the $90 Anonymizer Private Surfing 2004 suite for only $49.95. www.getprivatenow.com.
Computer you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180.
I'm not going to demand that it be in the form of a question. And we're going to go back to the phones now. And the question is, Who's on the line next? The answer? John. John, where are you calling from?
Henrietta.
Henrietta, New York. What's up?
Now, I want to take a shot at some trivia, then I got a, I kind of got a teaching question for you.
Okay.
I'll say 200.
Was this send or receive, Nick?
Receive.
And my question here is, how do you take an image from another image, and like say if you got a picture of yourself, like on if you got a picture on yourself,
right?
How do you take the image of say like your face and put it on another image?
You need a special program, any of the many photo or graphics programs like Photoshop or PaintShop Pro, Photo Impact. There's dozens of them that are available. That you can even use something like the window image paint program, but that doesn't do it very well. If you want it, the more expensive the program you buy, frankly, the more professional it will look.
The professional standard is Adobe Photoshop, which is $700.
If you wanted to use the Windows image, how would you go about by doing that?
Copy and paste.
Yeah. Same way, copy and paste.
That's all you do is just copy and paste.
Yeah,
and
the professional programs let you feather the edges. So it doesn't
look like it
was pasted.
Yeah, you blend it in, and then you can sit there and make it look like, you know, as you're cutting around their head, quite often you'll get lines, but you can sit there with more of the professional programs and kind of blend that right in, and it looks like it was
You know, so it depends on, you know, if you're putting your face on the Hulk's body, it's going to be pretty obvious it isn't you, so you don't have to get all that good at it. It's a joke, but if you're trying to make it look better, the more expensive the program, the better. There's also a program called the GIMP, G-I-M-P, which is free. Download at GIMP.org. And PaintShop Pro is under $100, I believe, or maybe under and a quarter.
Adobe has Photoshop Elements for $100, which is their entry level home user type editing program.
Right. So any of those will do it.
Thanks, guys.
I just had a client, elderly lady, was very surprised because most of her family is up here, but one daughter is down in Florida.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, with the storms and everything else, hasn't been able to afford to come up here. So they called by phone, but they wanted to do a family portrait. So they wound up taking the picture, and then somebody else sent up a picture, and they pasted her on in behind the group. So it looks like she was part of the group, and this lady was so happy that she's got a family picture that's up to date with the grandchildren and everything else, and couldn't be pleased more that her other daughter that couldn't make it up was able to get it.
Photographic evidence is now suspect. You have to verify the chain of custody. I took the picture. I developed the picture. I printed the picture. I handed the picture to the court. That's the picture I took. So it's now a much, you know, picture is worth a thousand words, and not anymore.
That's right. It really has gotten to the point where you can't believe what you see. And magazines and newspapers have been fooled by pictures. Yeah. Not just the Bigfoot and UFO pictures, but Carrie, there was a famous shot of Carrie sitting next to Jane Fonda at a rally in the 70s. They were never anywhere near each other.
Years ago, the two big issues were National Geographic, which got blasted because it's supposed to be such a reputable magazine. They printed a picture of Reagan and Gorbachev standing in front of the Kremlin, which never happened.
It's becoming more and more prevalent that you can't necessarily believe what you see. It's not just 60 Minutes that gets fooled by documents. It's all kinds of people being fooled by photographic evidence.
We see aliens landing at the movie theater every week.
Exactly right. I just saw Sky Captain and The World of Tomorrow. Man, I was completely blown away.
Absolutely no sets. An entire digital studio.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Many of the extras were apparently digital as well. Some of them were.
One guy that changes, you know, a digital character that changes clothes now and then.
But what he did was he took, the director took every extra, he shot them individually and then just put them wherever he wanted them for the crowd scenes. You're right, iRobot was quite phenomenal. Listen, we got to take a break. Back on the other side of the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Stettlemyer, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe. Say it with me, Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Rather do after their show in a chat room. It's Sound Bites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Settlemyer.
And we are Sound Bites. Before we get back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about our poll. Every week we have a poll. Last week, thanks to our good friend Marty, the question was, what kind of pointing device do you use? 435 of you voted, making it number 15 on the all-time hit list. Thank you. The big winner with 84% of the votes was mouse, followed by trackball, followed by touchpad, followed by command line rules, you insensitive clod, found by other, followed by the eraser joystick and data glove, which had no votes. Oh, no, wait. Both eraser joystick and data glove had two votes. Who's using a data glove?
I think.
But see, that's one of those rough questions where you might use several.
Well, the question is at the current computer. You should be able to figure out at the current computer.
Might,
if you go to a different computer, you give a different answer.
You could see I'm on my computer right now. I've got a touchpad and a mouse.
Which one are you using?
Both.
Well, pick one. I don't care. This is not like the government's going to come in and say, and audit us. It's just a poll on Soundbox. Jeez and crackers. All right, here's the next one.
Children.
You people make me crazy, I already am.
I'm having trouble using my mouse now because I think one of my USB ports failed.
That might be it.
Well, because you put a two-button mouse on a Mac. It doesn't know how to handle a two-button.
It thinks it's got two mice connected to it. Here's a fascinating little experiment that was done by Yahoo, which I didn't even know had a research department, but they did an internet deprivation study. Participants in the human experiment were deprived of the web for 14 days. And found themselves quickly succumbing to, and I quote, withdrawal and feelings of loss, frustration, and disconnectedness. I believe the definition of disconnectedness is not being able to get on the web. The rapid collapse of their universe, according to the researchers, was because internet users feel confident, secure, and empowered. The internet has become to some the ultimate symbol of modernity, to the point that participants were hobbled without convenient access to routine information like maps and telephone numbers. The pervasive nature of the internet is such that participants often forgot or lost the desire to use old-fashioned tools like the phone book, newspapers, and telephone-based customer service.
I couldn't find a phone book last night. I'm searching the office. I knew there was one here somewhere.
Yeah.
I've got a friend.
Oh, no, you don't.
That is literally addicted to the internet.
Oh, please.
Yep.
Well, I know a guy I helped get on the internet one night. I said, you want me to call you at 11 o'clock?
That was one night. And I only cussed you out once for it.
You did. But anyway,
we hear this a lot in service. You know, when can I have my computer back? You know, can I pick it up tomorrow?
Right. Yeah.
I doubt it.
No, here's a better answer.
There's 14 ahead of you.
No. What I tell them is, because I get the same thing. All right, can I have my computer back? Yeah, you can come back and get it. Oh, but do you want it fixed?
Right.
You can have it anytime.
It's not fixed yet, but you can have it anytime.
You can have it anytime.
Anyway, to get back to the poll, this week's poll is how long you can do without the internet. I can do without the internet, and the choices are for a month, for 2 weeks, for a week, for about 2 hours, the drive to work leaves me shaking, and never, you insensitive clod. We have to have an insensitive clod choice every week now. So far, on 123 votes, for about 2 hours has narrowly edged out for a week. Obviously, both of those are lying. Number three, never, you insensitive clod, is obviously the correct answer.
I put down 2 hours only because of my business. You know, I'm constantly checking it. I'm going to have to check it even more now, especially emails. I mean, sit there and handle the squirrel mail account for Sound Bites, answering questions there for folks constantly, and staying in contact with a lot of my clients. So, at the shop, and I'm sure you do too, Steve, as far as getting updated drivers and everything else without the internet. Trying to do that by download over a modem.
What do you mean you don't have an Ethernet card? No,
yeah.
I'll stick one in for a minute.
Well,
it's sometimes faster than trying to get the modem to work.
No, we just wind up using a wireless G.
Yep.
A Linksys wireless G, hook it into the USB port, boom, we're up and in.
Yep.
And not having to worry about playing around with their internet settings and all that. But literally, I mean, it's such a vital tool for companies like Steve's and mine with the internet that, you know, if it's down for more than an hour,
right.
We're in deep doo-doo.
Well, please vote on our polls at www.soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. When you're done, please head on over to my website. If you look down at the bottom of the poll, you'll see a little yellowish box, and in it you can click over to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And from there, you can leave your opinion. We have several people who've left an opinion, some of which actually have something to do with the poll itself. Here's somebody who's a whiny... Oh, doesn't want to be. Sorry that he's a whiny wuss. But I'm not nearly... It's not nearly granular enough. How many choices was I going to put on there? Like
really?
I said, this is not, you know, a CNBC poll. This is just the Soundbites poll. Here's somebody who says, info that there's a huge ongoing problem with the Sony Vaio shutting down for no apparent reason. Sony says there's not a problem, but we've got one like that of the last caller. Overheating most suspects, see? Totally unable to resolve the issue. So, it looks like you're not the only one out there.
That's why I say,
with that problem, Kevin.
That Kevin has to be a little more insistent. You know, he says, and I can empathize with him that, you know, sometimes, yes, dealing, especially you get the tech support and, you know, it's hard dealing with some of them, that, you know, you just got to move on up to a higher level and say, you know, you go to the Attorney General.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes it's what it takes.
Yep. Well, and online internet forums, back to our can't leave the internet alone,
right.
There are a lot of different news sites. Most companies support have their own support forums as well.
Right.
Post a question. Search Google Groups now.
Yeah.
See how many people are also having the problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. And that's a big one. We have, and talk about things like groups and stuff like that. We have people who live in our forums.
Yep.
And who I run, I've said this before, I run an old-time radio website, which currently is just a forum site.
Good luck getting in, folks, because it's very busy.
It is very busy, but what I find fascinating is that I have, it's an old system that I just cobbled together, and it's every once in a while a component will fail. It's probably not down 10 minutes before I start getting email and phone calls from people all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Cobalt Club down? Is it down? Is there a problem with it? Well, yeah, I'm looking at smoke. So I'm working on it. I'll get a component. I'll put it back together.
As soon as the fire department leaves, I'll see about getting it back together.
For those of you that can't get to a certain site every now and then, wait an hour and try again. They probably already know and they're fixing it.
Right. So, yeah, at any rate, we have... We have people who just love the internet. I'm one of them. You should see. Join us in our forums at the Soundbites website, soundbites.org. We have forums. We have some of the coolest people on the face of the earth in the Soundbites forums. It's a wonderful place for some terrific discussion. So feel free to join us. But luckily, you can join us online right now. Our next caller. Before we get back to the phone, thank you for reminding me. We have a trivia question. On average, how many pieces of email does each of us receive? And if you call in with the right answer, tell him what he would have won, Johnny. Well, Nick, you would have won a copy of Anonymizer, which we will make available if the person will simply stay on the line and give us a phone number. We'll get that Anonymizer rushing to them immediately.
$99.95 value.
$90 value, $49.95 at getprivatenow.com if you put in my name, and free if you answer the trivia question. We can't make it any better than that. And our next caller is Dennis. Dennis, where are you calling from?
Yes, sir. Calling from Greece.
Ah, Greece, New York?
Yes, sir. Yes. Unfortunately.
I don't know how good a signal skip we get.
Yeah, really. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Glad
good
to
afternoon.
Talk to you. Have a great show there. I have a problem.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And you called us. Huh. What
yep,
are the odds?
I called you. I am running XP. I have two disk drives on my computer, one running 98SE, which I just tried to use to get into my D drive, which is running XP, because I can't get into it. Downloaded SP2 last week. My wife downloaded and installed it before I knew she did it. Everything seemed to work fine afterwards. I had no trouble with it. All of a sudden, yesterday morning, she went to turn the computer on, and it won't boot. I can't go into safe mode. I can't go back into known settings.
But it will boot to 98SE on the other drive.
I can boot to 98SE on the other drive, but I can't read my drive D. It says, I tried to run Norton Disk Doctor, and it says, unable to operate on drive D because it is in use by unknown disk utility. Please close unknown disk utility.
Was the XP partition in NTFS or FAT32?
FAT32.
So it should be able to read it.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
the first problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did leave the FAT32.
Can you hear the drive even spinning up?
I just checked the disk manager or the device manager. Everything says it's working all right.
Now, what this might require you to do is take the side panel off the
yep.
side of the computer.
Yep, I built the computer so I can do that.
Okay, well, if you can put your hand or ear near that second drive
mm-hmm.
and see if you can hear a spin-up motion.
Well, it's warm when I put my fingers on it.
Pardon?
It's warm when I put my fingers on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, it can be heating up, but not spinning.
Okay, I gotcha.
I mean, they can heat up. I've had them
yeah.
overheat. And,
if it's too hot, that's a problem.
Yeah, and not do anything.
Yeah.
So you might want to check there first.
All right.
Otherwise, since it is FAT32, you should be able to do like FDisk to see if it is seeing that and how that partition is set up.
What's that master boot record command?
It's FDisk.
Well, you're getting the stuff I don't know anything about now.
Well, if you go to the D drive, first you got to get into FDisk. And you can have an option four is display active partition.
FDisk is a DOS utility for formatting disks.
Okay.
So once you boot into your 98, open a command prompt.
Okay.
And then you type FDisk, and it will show you all of the drives in your computer.
And the assigned letters and everything else. See if it's okay. seeing the D drive.
Okay.
All right.
And then there's a command that will rebuild the boot record that might get the drive booting again.
Right, which is okay. if you got to be on that D, you have to, from, say, the A drive, wherever you boot from, do FDisk space D colon. Space forward slash MBR.
Which is short for master boot record.
All right, try the FDisk.
FDisk
yeah.
space D colon.
Or whatever letter that
yeah.
drive is assigned.
D colon, okay.
All right, space forward slash MBA.
R,
thank you.
MBR.
MBR. Master boot record.
Okay. It's a football.
Yeah.
Okay, what I was wondering was if I just took the XP disk and tried to do a repair, I mean.
If you don't want any of the data on that drive, if there's nothing on there you need, you can certainly try that.
Well, the repair might repair bring it back.
Right.
Repair.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Reinstall would.
Have you also tried when you can go to that drive and boot from there, hitting the F8 key and telling it to use last known good boot up?
It goes automatically to the screen that gives you a variety of things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
It goes. It'll either say, do you want to go to safe mode networking, safe
right.
mode with...
Yeah, Windows
or
didn't shut down properly.
Known record, or just go normally. I've tried all of those by...
Then, yeah, the registry is messed
it
up.
It comes up with a quick blue screen. It starts to go. There's a quick blue screen, which I can't stop to read.
Right.
And then it just goes back.
Your registry is messed up, and I put your CD in and just reinstall XP over XP.
Reinstall or try repair?
Well, try repair first. It
okay.
probably won't work because
right.
it's a registry
if
issue.
If you put the CD in,
yeah.
here's what will happen. Is you'll see that first screen where it says you can either repair or install.
Right, I've done that.
You
right.
do the install. Now, after you do the license agreement, you're going to then get an option the second time you see repair.
Right.
After you do
that.
The license agreement, you'll see repair.
Mm-hmm.
Select that. And what it'll do is it keeps all your settings, all your documents, everything else, and it just installs another copy of XP on top of XP.
And if
right.
that doesn't work, then you're going to have to install a new copy of XP. Yeah.
Start from scratch, yeah. That's why I went to my 98 disk to try and go back and save my settings in that. But it won't let me access it.
Right,
that's part of it. Try that and let us know what happens.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Settlemyer, me, Nick Francesco, each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! Well, Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David Ray.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Suttlemeyer.
And this is indeed Soundbites. We're still desperately trying to give away a copy of Anonymizer. The trivia question is, on average, how many pieces of email does each of us receive daily? 4 was a little too low, and 200 was a little too high. So it's somewhere in between there. Our next caller, Peter. Peter, where are you calling from?
Gates, New York.
Gates, New York.
Okay, here's the problem. I have been a faithful follower of the Security Tango, and Spybot found a Spybot, of course, DSO exploit, and I can't get it out of the system at all.
Right, DSO exploits are very tough to get out of the system.
Oh, dear.
If you open the information window, does it tell you anything more about it, which one it is?
It just says nothing. It just says 5 problems found.
Yeah, but there's an information window that should tell you what the exact problem is and what the registry key it's in. There's a little plus sign.
Yeah, does it have any information there about it?
I don't think so. Let me have a look.
Well, hold on. Whoa, hold on. Peter.
Yes. Yeah.
Peter, are you there?
Yes.
Hello. Hello?
Lost him. It sounds like he went to a speakerphone and then lost
Hello?
Himself and went back.
Okay.
There he is.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay.
I was trying to get on my portable phone and head upstairs to the computer.
No. We really don't have time for that. It's not all about you climbing the stairs. Here's the deal. What you need to do is first check to make sure that you have an updated and patched Internet Explorer with the very latest patches. If you do, even if you have a DSL exploit reported, you're still in good shape.
Okay.
There is a bug in the last version of Spybot, which will be fixed in the next version, that continues to report the DSO problem anyway, even though it's been blocked.
Okay.
So basically, if you're up to date on your Internet Explorer packages, or you don't use Internet Explorer...
Well, I've been going through NetZero.
And no, Internet Explorer is the browser.
Gotcha. Okay.
And if you've got the latest version of Spybot, which is, of course, the one that sort of
one
the problem,
thing folks
then you can ignore the DSO exploit bug.
One thing, though, Nick, they got to remember to do, which I've been doing lately, is within Spybot, there's a button there that says immunize. After you've done the searching and getting rid of it, you've got to click on that button to immunize, and then there's a plus mark there that says immunize, and it adds all those files, no problems, that it found to a list, and it will block them for the future.
The other issue
okay,
you might...
I have hit the immunize. Okay. I hit the restore thing, too, and it shows it there.
Yeah,
I check that and take it out.
That's you got to do the update.
And that's the other big issue is turn off your system restore in ME and XP because it might just be restoring
right.
that one again.
But you're probably caught by the bug in the latest version of Spybot. So as long as you're up to date on everything else and as long as you followed every single conceivable step in the Security Tango, you should be fine.
To the letter. And thank you very much for having me.
Well, don't hang up yet, Peter. Do you want to take a shot at the trivia?
Oh, sure.
Sure. Give me a number.
23?
Did you say 23?
Yeah, and it's wrong, isn't it?
The answer is 26.4, so you're within 5.
Yeah. Oh.
Peter, you win.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Stay on the
line.
Let's hear it for Peter, everybody.
Yay!
And the crowd goes wild. It's a small crowd, but they're extra wild just to make up for that. Please stay on the line, Peter, and Chris will get your email address, and we will give that to the folks at Anonymizer. They will be in touch with you directly, specifically to get you a free copy of Anonymizer.
Thank you.
That way we
much.
Don't have to have your address or any of that stuff. You get it right from them.
Okay.
Stay on the line. Do not hang up. Do
will
not
do.
Go to the cell phone, for God's sake. Okay? Portable.
Thanks very much for your help.
Thank you, Peter. Peter, we have a winner. I'm very excited. The correct answer is 26.4 pieces of email each of us receives.
We must, like I said, I got to be on. Well, my family's big anyways. My dad's one of 19, so I got a big family plan going there.
Didn't you ever get a television? Your folks ever get a television? Well, never mind, it's not important.
No, I'm one of 6. My dad's one of 19.
Yeah. See, I have.
Back in the days, my grandparents, TV was a big thing once it came out.
Yeah, right.
My grandfather used to love watching.
Your grandmother was probably pretty pleased.
Oh, yeah.
My mother's family was the same way. Pennsylvania farm stock. She was one of 9. Her mother was one of 18.
I'm afraid I'm in the negative growth. You know, you have zero growth people. I'm in the negative growth people. I'm an only child. My daughter is an only child. I don't know what that's about.
You're smart.
There was my mother-in-law says never have more children than you have hands.
When the kids outnumber the parents, right. And each kid has to be at a different school to a different event at the same time.
Right, right. No, we just have the one to take care of, so she's spoiled. I mean, she's a well-adjusted child.
Yes, she is.
I have no idea what I was about to say. Oh, I want to thank Peter. I want to apologize to everybody who's hoping to call in and get the trivia question right. But I'm delighted we were able to give away a copy of Anonymizer. Did you get his information there, Chris? Or you're about to?
I'm waiting for you to go to the next caller.
Our next caller.
You've got to push the button.
Tom, where are you calling from?
Hi, guys, from Rochester.
Rochester, New York. What's your question?
Sir. I was doing the Tangle the other day.
Yeah.
Just to check things out. And then I was running Stinger.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, my McAfee went off, said I got a Trojan, PWS Trojan.
PWS what?
Trojan.
Okay.
And
P-R-O-G-E-N-T?
Yeah.
Yep.
P-W-S. And then it was going through the restore temp, as Singer was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to about 0074566 CPY.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it came through.
Were you still connected to the NAT at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. The latest version...
Stinger is actually starting to worry me. They haven't updated it in over a month. Does that mean there haven't been any bad viruses?
Well, the thing about Stinger is they only update the viruses that kill
antivirus
programs. There's only about 44 of them.
There is a PWS Progent. I know that McAfee takes care of it.
I ran my McAfee and it said write protected. And it couldn't get it out. I tried quarantining it and everything. It wouldn't do
Tom,
it.
Have you tried, though, turning off the temporary the backups?
No.
You've got to
follow the security tangle from the beginning, every step.
They got ME.
Because right, turn off your
what
system
happens
restore.
Is you can get rid of it in one spot, but if you've got that system restored turned on right now, it's hiding there, and it's protected. So you've got to uncheck that so it's not doing the system restore or the backup points for right now. You can only turn back on once you get it cleaned out. And then, matter of fact, I would even recommend turning that off, reboot in safe mode.
Right.
Run Stinger from there and then your antivirus because less things get loaded. And I'll have less problems of trying to compete with other things, timing out, and everything else.
On the Let's Dance page on the Security Tangle, there are step-by-step instructions on how to turn off the System Restore feature in Windows ME.
Okay.
And XP.
And XP. So you need to follow every step. Skip nothing.
Right. I guess my dance
to be safe
went wild.
Yeah. I know you got those dancing feet there, and you're a dancing fool, but you got to follow every step.
There's two left feet this time.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next caller is Steve. Steve, where are you calling from?
Rochester. How are you doing?
Peachy. How are you?
Good. Good. I got a quick question here. I downloaded the Service Pack 2.
Mm-hmm.
And
I believe for the next 2 months, 90% of our questions are going to start with, I downloaded Service Pack 2. Go ahead.
Well, everything was working fine prior to it, but afterwards I had a couple of crazy things happen. The mouse moves on its own across the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that happened is none of the sounds, like if I put a CD in the CD player, it won't play. It just has a buzz sound.
If I can interrupt you for 1 second, this might save a lot of time.
Okay.
Before you did the SP2, Did you get all the current drivers for, like, your sound card, your video card, your motherboard?
No, I didn't.
That's probably what's causing 90% of this problem. On the Microsoft webpage alone, they have posted for Dell, Compact, Gateway, and another of others that have links right to them. Just before you install the SP2 pack, it says, and if you go there, to definitely check all the manufacturers for any updated drivers before even attempting to do the install of Service Pack 2 along with running SpyBot and Adaware.
Okay, well, this is one of those things where they have it automatically go on my machine, and when I turn it off, I turn it back on, it's there.
Right, but that's why you have to run the Security Tango quite regularly, so that before you get Service Pack 2, your system is clean.
And you have to manually check all your updates.
Okay.
Yep.
For each one of your drivers.
All right.
See, that's
one nice thing about the bigger name brand computers is that they have a driver update page. You put in your service tag, and it lists all the drivers for everything you have.
Yep. Gateway is great about
that. I've often thought about starting a service for that for small computer companies.
Okay, well,
it's often rough because you don't know what's in each model.
If you can backtrack and uninstall that.
Okay, I did uninstall it already.
Now go find out your video card, your sound card, your motherboard manufacturer, and go to those websites and see if they have any updates before installing the SP2A.
Get updates, okay.
Yeah.
And make sure, again, like I said, that you make sure your Security Tango is completely up to date.
Yep.
Okay.
And I guarantee you, if you do that, then you'll do it. Because I've had to, just this past week, we've done three different machines where we've had to uninstall SP2 and then get all the corrected updates, and then SP2 went in fine after that.
Oh, good. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for your help.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot, Steve. We're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Settlemyer, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show you'll ever hear, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
What's the dealer in your driveway?
50,000 watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome indeed. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I am Chris Settlemyer.
And this is Soundbites. And we're going to go right to the... I have to say, first of all, we've got a bunch of people who listen online. Right now, there are only four of them. We had a couple people from Canada earlier who seem to have disappeared. Probably some snowstorm took off their net connection. They're not on anymore, so I can say that.
Knock the antenna off their igloo.
We got a whole bunch of people in the Soundbites forums right now. Talking about this, that, and the other thing. The opinions have moved up. I'm just fascinated by the amount of stuff that goes on in the middle of this show. There's 21 opinions and 131 votes in the poll, so I'm very pleased.
We should remind folks, though, once more that this is our last Saturday show. Starting next Sunday and every Sunday thereafter, we will be on from 11 to 1 o'clock, which gives us actually a full 2 hours. Because right now,
2 hours.
We've only been doing an average, what, an hour and 25 minutes to maybe an hour and, an hour and 35 to an hour and 40 minutes on an average. Now we're going up to 2 hours. There's only going to be, so far, I think, six games where we're going to be cut just 15 minutes and
right.
at the tail end
right.
of the show. So, but we'll constantly be on Sundays from 11 to 1.
Right. It's very exciting for all of us. It's kind of a shocker for those of you who only have ever heard us on Saturdays, but when we started Soundbites, it was on Sunday for a long time, and so this is kind of a back-to-the-future sort of thing.
One of the other things I can tell folks to look forward to, since we're moving to Sunday, I'm setting it up right now, the Vice President of Adaware. We're going to have him, probably the second or third Sunday show, come on and talk about the product of Adaware.
Perfect. Perfect. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Bruce. Bruce, where are you calling from?
Cast Isle. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Cast Isle, New York.
Cast Isle, New York.
I'm looking at, I have an XP system, and I'm trying to run CD player on it. Won't work.
The CD player won't work at all?
No, it just boots right up to media player, you know.
What CD player program are you trying to use?
It's called CD player from my 98 system.
From your 98 system?
Yeah.
And you're currently running XP?
Yes.
You may not want to use that.
Why that?
Well, it's just it's going to be a 16-bit program. It's just not going to run as well, and it's going to bog your system down a lot more than running.
It may not run at all. Yeah. It may just not be compatible with XP.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it isn't, because I really liked it better than.
Well, the thing that is, though, is do you have an icon in the desktop for it?
I have made one. Yep.
All right. If you right-click on it, go down to Properties.
Right.
One of the options there is compatibility mode. And if you try clicking it on and say 98, you might try that and see if that helps your problem. What it does is when a program starts up, it checks the operating system. And by saying 98 mode, it lies to the program, says, yeah, we're 98 instead of XP, and lets it go ahead and run.
Okay.
Give that a shot.
The other thing you want to try is double-click My Computer. Right-click the CD drive itself and select Properties. There's an autoplay tab, and on that you have a choice of select an action to perform. On my system, there are only three choices: play using Windows Media Player, open the folder to view the files, or take no action. If your program has installed correctly, you'll see a fourth choice, which is play using CD Player.
Okay.
If it hasn't installed correctly, the only other choice you really have is take no action and then by hand start that CD player if it works. And again, there's no promise that it's going to work.
There's also dozens of other CD players on the internet you could download, including iTunes and the Real Player, which may not be good for other reasons. Music Match, Jukebox. There's dozens of CD players. You might find one you like better than Windows Media Player.
Well, maybe I don't know how to run Media Player. That may be a problem.
Well, it should just start automatically.
Right, but I mean, I want to edit the play what I want, what tracks I want, you know, and so on. I just don't see where I can do that.
No, you can't. It's designed to play the music from start to finish. You need a jukebox program like iTunes or Music Match,
and that will let you. 98 works.
No, you can't edit the songs until you bring them digitally into the computer.
Right.
Under Windows Media Player, you have a media library. And if you first boot it up, you can go into that library and set all kinds of stuff for it. And in addition, under Now Playing, on the right, you'll see a window that says sample playlist.
Right.
Or please insert a disc, all kinds of stuff like that. So you can copy music from the CD to your drive, create a media library. But if you want to create a library that simply only is available when you put that CD in, then Media Player is not going to be the device for you.
Right. Well, CD player used to work on 98. I could just put the CD in, and it would play my playlist the way I
had
it.
Well, like I said...
And that's a five-year-old OS the programs may not work with a newer computer.
Right. The only thing you can do is, if you don't like Media Player, you're going to have to start searching the net for other CD players. Google is a good place to start. Put XP and CD player in, and take a look at some of them, see what features they offer, and download one you like. But nobody can guarantee that a five-year-old program is going to work under XP. I'm sorry.
It would seem like it would be better, not worse.
Pardon?
It would seem like it would be a better program. The newer program would be better and include everything from before. But
not necessarily. It depends on what their audience is and what they really want to put into it.
Right.
So I'm afraid that's what you're going to have to try. Thanks for calling. Our next caller, Victor. Victor, where are you calling from?
Holy cow, I got through you guys.
Unthinking believable. Where are you
nice
calling from?
Nice seeing you. Call again next week.
Yeah. And sorry, we're out of time.
I was getting worried about it. I have Mozilla. Well, I use Mozilla and Internet Explorer.
Okay.
eBay. The only reason I use Internet Explorer is to check my email, because when I first heard about Mozilla from you guys, well, it's been a couple years, I think, now. Anyways, I have XP.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get my email to work because I had switched it over and I wanted to use that for my email browser through Mozilla. Well,
what's your email? What email? Where's your email?
Through FrontierNet. And I could retrieve my mail, but I couldn't send.
Well, then
I
don't
know what settings to change.
Okay,
that's your that's your sending mail server.
And it's
Mozilla.
It's got to be set to smtp.frontiernet.net.
Right. There's no functional reason Mozilla wouldn't work. You must have just had a setting wrong.
I mean, back then I called it. I called Frontier and was asking them if they didn't know how to do it because they weren't familiar with Mozilla. Mozilla is great.
They are now. If they don't know Mozilla, ask them about Netscape. It's the same program.
Oh, now I have Netscape. When I did use my Netscape, my Navigator or whatever, it would give me these JavaScript errors, and it would go so bad it would just crash my computer.
Well, the newest versions of Netscape are Mozilla.
Yeah.
So if you call up Frontier and they don't support Mozilla, ask them if they support Netscape. I suspect they do, and that would give you same thing.
Try downloading Netscape 7.2. You can have multiple browsers on your desktop.
Yeah, well, I really like the Mozilla, you know.
Right.
You know?
But
so
the deal
I have to
is...
go to smtp.frontiernet.net.
That should work for your outgoing mail.
Frontiernet.net.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm hoping because I'm going to really like it. And after what I heard you guys saying about Internet Explorer...
check the settings for your email under accounts in the settings and make sure that the POP is for POP... Was it POP3.frontiernet.net?
And yeah, that's what it says.
In the outgoing, it has to be smtp.frontiernet.net.
SMTP, which is short for Simple Mail Transport Protocol. SMTP.
Cool. I'm glad you guys are there.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Victor. We're going to take a break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Settlemyer, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the very cool Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Okay, we've been talking about Anonymizer. We gave away a free package of Anonymizer. Those of you who tuned in later saying to yourself, what's Anonymizer? Well, it's the Anonymizer suite, and it includes the spyware killer, spyware and intrusive devices remover. There's the Mail Shell anti-spam desktop, which works with your email program to stop spam from taking over, and the great Anonymizer 2004, which keeps you unlisted and untrackable on the internet. You know you want this suite. You can get it at getprivatenow.com. That's www.getprivatenow.com. This is a $90 package, but if you go to getprivatenow.com and you type in my name, Nick, you can get it for a mere $49.95. You know you want it. You know you need it. www.getprivatenow.com. Type in Nick and you win.
This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Settlemyer.
And this is Sound Bites. We're back to the phones, and we're talking to Bill. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. Just want to say I love the show.
Thanks.
Listen every week. Quick question. I have Roadrunner, and lately I've been getting telemarketers calling and trying to sell me phone DSL. Is that the same speed? Am I going to get the same results as I do with Roadrunner?
Yeah,
pretty
about
much.
The same.
The DSL does have one advantage, that there is a cheaper, slower version. So if you don't want to pay the $40 a month, for $30 nope. bucks a month, they have a cheaper... What, right, but both...
DSL right now has a two-year contract for the
Maximum speed.
Yeah, maximum speed for $29.95.
Well, but that's from Frontier.
From Frontier.
Right. Other companies will give you other...
Right. Yeah. Time Warner has their own deals, right.
Right.
But in general, they are generally the same.
They're pretty close. Yeah. Roadrunner is a little faster than DSL, but not significantly.
Now Time Warner just came out with a one-year package for $29.95.
Right. So but it really depends on, you know, it's six of one, half dozen of the other.
So then I won't lose any performance if I...
No. I've worked out...
Like I said, it's a little bit slower, but not terribly noticeable to the average user.
And there's a lot... lot involved that you can't control. How many people in your neighborhood are on the same Roadrunner link? The distance you are from the telephone switch
for the DSL.
For DSL. In fact, what annoys us is that the DSL runs commercials about it's not shared. Where cable internet is shared, they are both shared, just at slightly different points.
Right. And if you're extremely far away from the central office, your DSL is going to be slower because there's a lot of crosstalk on the lines. So there's a million different variables that you have to deal with when you get these things. Bottom line is, if you're happy with Roadrunner and it's not a terribly huge difference in price, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. Why go through the hassle? And then you got to change all your email addresses.
Sure. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks.
I had a friend who switched over to Earthlink cable internet because they were doing a deal. So, yeah, that's usually the thing.
And he got the little orbiting thing on his head.
Right. And for his convenience, Earthlink let Time Warner send him his bills. So it just said Earthlink on the top, but it was still Time Warner.
All right. Our next caller is Peggy. Welcome, Peggy. Where are you calling from?
Livonia.
Yeah.
And I'm calling because on my computer, which is an XP, I have the little icon that says, Microsoft Automatic Updates, update now. So I normally click on it and just update because that's what it tells me to do.
Right.
And shortly after I did that, I noticed that the mouse is extremely slow.
Yeah.
Extremely slow. Now, I just turned it on about a half an hour ago, and I kind of caught the tail end of a conversation that you were having with another caller saying that possibly one of the downloads that I did may be causing this problem.
Yeah, Service Pack 2 has been known to cause problems on a number of machines.
Right, and you got to go to the Dell website.
Is your system a Dell?
No.
I was going to say Dell, Gateway, and all these manufacturers. You go to that particular manufacturer, and they have updates that you have to do before doing the SP2 install.
And unfortunately, Microsoft doesn't tell you that.
Okay, so how about instead of me going through all of that, I just want to uninstall it. Can I do that at this point?
Maybe.
Add remove.
Yeah, if you go into your control panels, there's an add remove control panel. If it's listed there, then you can probably remove it safely.
It'll just be in the add remove columns.
Yep. Right. If you go to the control panel and select add remove programs,
and scroll way down.
You should start seeing the XP hot fixes followed by the XP service packs.
Great. That's what I'll try to do.
And then update all of your drivers, all of them.
Okay.
Because this service pack is going to keep trying to download again because your computer knows it doesn't have it again.
What type of computer is it?
You mean like where did I get it?
Yeah, manufacturer.
What brand?
Well, I got it from a local distributor. He makes his own computers.
Okay. Oh, you might want to call that person and find out if there are updates to the hardware that he or she can give you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or he can tell you, like a brand of motherboard that's in it.
Okay.
Or the type of video card or sound card. Then you can go visit those sites and see if there's any updates for
them. Or he or she may have them available on their website.
Okay, excellent. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay.
Thank you so much. How much time we got left? 1 minute. Looks like we're out of time. Listen, folks, I want to thank everybody who has followed us so faithfully and so loyally on Saturdays. This is our last Saturday show. It's not the last Soundbite show. We will be coming back next week on Sunday. This is personally painful to me, as my wife has explained to me that I will be at market all day Saturday now.
I try.
I used to be able to get out early. We own a coffee stand at the public market, Flower City Coffee.
Best coffee in West New York. Around. I got my pound and a half of coffee to go home.
That's right. Yes. And unfortunately, now I'll be there every Saturday. But I'm not answering computer questions while I'm there, by the way. I'm selling coffee. At any rate, we will be here on Sundays from now on from 11 to 1 p.m., 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris. This is our last week with Chris. Next week, it's back to Rob Linton. And we will see you next Sunday at 11 o'clock on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This weekend, the John.